Beyond presents Spoilers for the World and the Child, or Mundus et Infants by the Unknown. Good title. This is the first of four episodes looking at the play in possibly excessive detail. This episode covers lines 1 to 336. Following are some introductory notes and a plain text recording of the dialogue, a plain text being the first cut of our full cast audio recording. It has all the text, but no SFX, no Foley, and it's the edit we use to hunt out textual errors, retakes or cuts, so it's not perfect, and we may change the take for the final thing. If you want to just enjoy our production, stop listening now and wait for the release. Seriously, this is an exercise that some people won't enjoy. If it ain't for you, move on. If you're still listening, let's enter spoiler land. Spoiler land! Please make me stop. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of the play, just a little context for the recording. This is one of our bonus plays, recorded at the end of other recording sessions. We didn't have time to do much in the way of takes and retakes, so we're largely throwing this one together. It was recorded before COVID, and I haven't the will to go back for pickups 4 years later. So, when there is another version, it might be quite different. And hopefully one day we will get around to doing it again and again and again in lots of different versions, live on stage and in full production. Hopefully these minor caveats, and they are fairly minor caveats, will not spoil, get it, your enjoyment of the final audio. Or to put it another way, don't shoot the pianist, he's doing his best. So, The World and the Child, or, as it is in Latin, Mundus et Infants. It's a medieval morality play, or it would be if it wasn't Tudor. It dates around 1500, and it turns up in print around the 17th of July 1522, somewhere near tea time. Of course, it's a bit cheap to make that distinction between medieval and Tudor. It's a slow shift, and period markers don't really make that much difference. Anyway, this is sort of the last of the pucker medieval morality plays. From The Pride of Life through to Mundus, we have about half a dozen plays. Obviously, the moral form survives into other texts. Most interludes are moral plays, but this is perhaps the last of the classic form. Linguistically, this is quite a simple text. Many of the words are a tad archaic, the syntax is very slippery, the verse irregular. Maybe something happened to the play in transmission to us, but it is short and sweet. Like Castle of Severance, it covers the lifespan of a human, or all of mankind, with the opening a forced growth exercise as an infant leaps to adolescent to full maturity. The cast list is deceptive in this regard, as it lists five characters: infants, wanton, lust and liking, manhood and age, when these are all in fact the same person who just gets renamed, and it doesn't even mention other names he takes on along the way, shame and repentance at the end. During the course of the play, our mankind-type figure encounters four other people. The first is the world. The world and the child of the title. And then he will meet conscience. We will deal with the other two in later episodes. These extra characters, however, only ever enter one at a time, making this a small cast play, potentially even smaller, potentially even down to two actors. Though there is an objection to this in the last quarter of the play. Anyway, we're going to start from the top. The text outlines the title and themes. Here beginneth a proper new interlude of the world and the child, otherwise called Mundus et Infants, and it showeth of the estate of childhood and manhood. Which is about right for most of the play. Though it should be noted, the title, The World and the Child, starts to feel a bit weird after the first 10-15 minutes of the show. Anyway, the opening of the play is out of the every single interlude show playbook ever. A figure bursts on and tells everyone to shut up.
Sirs. Cease of your sores what so befall, and look ye bow bonnily to my bidding. For I am ruler of realms. I warn you all, and over all foods I am king.
Over all foods, F-O-D-E-S. In this context, not food, but people and things. This is a very familiar trope of making your boast. We've seen it in Pride of Life, etc. And this figure is a king like a Herod or similar. This character is big, bold, and possesses a lot of stuff. I should point out here that we decided for the audio to push against the live performance choice the text is asking for. This is a big, bold speech on stage to a crowded room. Well, as audio is a solo pursuit, we tried something a bit quieter.
For I am king, and well known in these realms round. I have also palaces, Ipite. I have steeds in stable stalwart and strong. Also streets and strands full strongly, Edite. For all the world wide, I wot well is my name. All riches readily it runneth in me. All pleasure worldly, both mirth and game.
At this point, our opening speaker actually announces who they are.
Myself, seemly in sail, I send with you to be, for I am the world. I warn you all, prince of power and of plenty, he that cometh not when I do him call, I shall him smite with poverty. For poverty I part in many a place to them that will not obedient be. I am a king in every case. Methinketh I am a god of grace. The flower of virtue followeth me.
The world, Mundus, is not a nice guy. He demands respect like a tyrant, and anyone who ignores him is cast into poverty. And yet, he's not completely evil. The world is full of sin. It is full of temptation. The world is a reality we all face, and so it must be respected as the place we all live in. It's not heaven where everything is supposed to be perfect. That this is potentially a very small-scale show is demonstrated by our one prop of note. There is a prominently placed chair, probably a throne. The frontispiece of the printed version shows Mundus on this throne with crown, orb and scepter, though that might just be the woodcut of a king that they reused from something else.
Lo, here I sit, seemly in sea, I command you all obedient be, and with free will ye follow me.
Thank you, world, for setting up the play. Now we have the entrance of the child, infants. How do you stage this next sequence? It's a good question. Do you have a puppet baby? Do you have a man in a nappy? Schoolboy costume? Lots of questions to answer as this scene progresses and the child speaks to the audience.
Christ our King, grant you clearly to know the case, to meave of this matter that is in my mind, and clearly declare it. Christ grant me grace.
It's an interesting first three lines. The child already knows of Christ and, well, to be honest, these lines don't quite make sense. The point of the play is that the child learns to be a good Christian, so beyond convention, I don't quite know why it's there. Anyway, these opening lines are at the point of his baptism, question mark? Anyway, theological throat clearing done, it's down to business. Who are you? Well, he's a child.
Now, seemly sirs, Behold on me how mankind doth begin. I am a child, as you may see, gotten in game and in great sin. 40 weeks my mother me found, flesh and blood my food was though. When I was ripe from her to sound, in peril of death we stood both two.
It's a violent description of birth, but it does lay out the dangers to both mother and child at that moment. Having been born, he immediately thinks on his death. He's a very self-aware child.
Now to seek death I must begin, for to pass that strait passage, for body and soul that shall then twin, and make a parting of that marriage.
He reiterates how long he was in his mother's womb, and that his mother is afraid of their parting as he goes out into the world.
40 weeks I was freely fed within my mother's possession. Full oft of death she was adread, when that I should part her from. Now into the world she hath me sent, poor and naked as ye may see. I am not worthily wrapped nor went, but poorly pricked in poverty.
So he's gone out into the world poor and naked. Now, is this a literal context for this child, or is this how we all go into the world, which is what we do? We effectively, upon birth, we are all poor and naked. Only the things of the world now clothe and feed us. So the child speaks to the world on his throne, and the world is very nice and asks the child its name.
Now into the world will I wend, some comfort of him for to crave. All hail, comely crowned king, God that all made you, see and save.
Welcome, fair child. What is thy name?
I wot not, sir, withouten blame. But oft-time my mother, in her game, called me Dalliance.
So the child isn't actually called Child. He's called Dalliance, apparently. It's another name you don't need to worry about. You'll never hear from it again. This guy is going to get a lot of different names. The word in this context, dalliance, suggests the kind of baby actions you'd expect in a child. You know, playing, unconnected talk, etc. Actually, this child is quite articulate. But what can you do? The world thinks the child will grow out of it anyway.
Dalliance. My sweet child, it is a name that is right wild, for when thou waxest old, it is a name of no substance. But, my fair child, what wouldst thou have?
Sir, of some comfort are you crave, meat and clothes my life to save. And I your true servant shall be.
Now, fair child, I grant thee thine asking. I will thee find while thou art young, so thou wilt be obedient to my bidding.
And again, the world is awfully nice, but there's something nasty behind it. Yes, yeah, sure, I'll give you food and clothes, but now you are mine. You will obey. And, as is conventional in moral drama, give a guy new clothes, you give them a new name. That's 2 stamps on the interlude bingo card.
These garments gay I give to thee, and also I give to thee a name, and clep thee wanton in every game. Till 14 year be come and gone, and then come again to me.
Gramercy, world, for mine array, for now I purpose me to play.
Farewell, fair child, and have good day. All recklessness is kind for thee.
So the child dalliance is now wanton. Not sure the world is a good influence there, but it is how a child is, I suppose, crashing about and playing, and not sure of the rules yet. Wanton then treats us to a survey of their play. Now, does the world stay on their throne throughout this long speech or retire? It is possible for Wanton to just step to the audience, play all of this speech out to them, and the world stays in place on their throne. There is a need to show time passing, so an exit is not inappropriate, but it's not essential. Anyway, Wanton revels in their new name, and it largely presents in playing with toys.
Wanton is my name. I can many a quaint game. Lo, my top I drive in same. See how it turneth round. I can, with my scourge stick, my fellow upon the head hit, and lightly from him make a skip, and blear on him my tongue.
Cue a raspberry. There are a couple of probable raspberry cues here. Ring with my lip below might be one as well. Another question is, are these toys actual, or is he just miming? Did the world give him a big box of toys? His wantonness is obviously a little bit of a problem, as it causes friction between him and his family. As to four, unmentioned. Not so much of an orphan here.
If brother or sister do me chide, I will scratch and also bite. I can cry and also kick and mock them all beroo. If father or mother will me smite, I will ring with my lip. And lightly from him make a skip and call my dame shrew.
He's a wag, or a bit of a shit. And back to playing games. A spinning top?
A new game have I found. See, this gin, it rinneth round. And here another have I found, and yet mo can I find. I can mow on a man, and make a leasing well I can, and maintain it right well then. This cunning came me of kind. Yea, sirs, I can well geld a snail and catch a cow by the tail.
To mow on a man is to make faces, and to make a leasing is a lie. So he's a proper arse. I'm not sure how one gelds a snail, though catch a tail might be less about an actual animal and more a version of tag. He's able to do more, dance, sing, play tiddlywinks, well, cherry pit. Aiming to get pips into a hole.
This is a fair cunning. I can dance and also skip. I can play at the cherry pit. And I can whistle you a fit. Sires in a willow rhine. Yea, sirs, and every day, when I to school shall take the way, some good man's garden I will essay, pears and plums to pluck.
On the way to school, a bit of scrumping. I think the next bit is about climbing a tree to look out, rather than an interest in ornithology.
I can spy a sparrow's nest. I will not go to school, but when me least, for there beginneth a sorry feast, when the master should lift my dock.
The master lifting his dock, his coattails, to give him a beating. Now, we don't encourage corporal punishment on this podcast, but this boy is definitely testing that principle. Anyway, this wanton child relates that time has now passed. He must go back to the world.
Oh, but sirs, when I was 7 years of age, I was sent to the world to take wage. And this 7 years I have been his page and kept his commandment. Now will I wend to the world, the worthy emperor. Hail, Lord of great honour! This 7 year I have served you in hall and in bower with all my true intent.
So he met the world when he was 7, and now 7 years, so he's now 14, I think. This is, of course, an effect of the world. It ages you. 7 years pass and the child has grown. Which means the world, who's pleased to see him, gives him a new name. And this is where you start to have to do some maths. He's 14. He was introduced to the world at 7, and now he's 14. So we have tweenager called Love, Lust and Liking, which I suppose fits somebody whose body will be filled with hormones.
Now welcome, Wanton, my darling dear. A new name I shall give thee here. Love, lust, liking, in fear. These thy names they shall be. All game and glee and gladness, all love longing in lewdness. This 7 year, forsake all sadness. And then come again to me.
Again, our growing child addresses the audience as they live through the next 7 year stretch. Does the world withdraw or watch with semi-paternal pride?
Now lust and liking is my name. I am as fresh as flowers in May. I am seemly shapen in same, and proudly apparelled in garments gay. My looks been full lovely to a lady's eye, and in love longing my heart is sore set. Might I find a food that were fair and free to lie in hell till doomsday, for love I would not let. My love for to win all game and glee, all mirth and melody, all revel and riot, and of boast will I never blin.
So he's full of love longing. Ah, first love. And food here again is a person, not food. He's also a dedicated follower of fashion, but he's growing up fast.
But, sirs, now I am 19 winter old.
Hang on, say that again.
Now I am 19 winter old.
So was he 12 earlier, or is there some sort of ticking clock and he's just got 2 years to get to the world again?
Iwis I wax wonder bold. Now I will go to the world a higher science to essay. For the world will keep me avance. I will keep his governance. His pleasing will I pray. For he is a king in all substance.
All hail, master full of might. I have you served both day and night. Now I common as you be height. 21 winter is common and gone.
Yes, it's an indication of the passage of time. It's almost a stanza per year if there was a particularly irregular verse structure. Sadly, the previous 7 year section doesn't match the time verse logic test either, but it was a nice idea while it lasted. Anyway, 7 years have passed. It's time for Love, Lust, Liking to become 21, a man.
Now welcome Love, Lust and Liking. For thou hast been obedient to my bidding. I increase thee in all thing, and mightily I make thee a man. Manhood mighty shall be thy name. Bear thee pressed in every game, and wait well. That thou suffer no shame, neither for land nor for rent. If any man would weight thee with blame, withstand him with thy whole intent. Full sharply thou beat him to shame with doubtiness of deed.
All the clichés of masculinity, of manhood there. And note, of course, the bias. This is an allegorical play, in theory, talking to all humanity, but it is clearly only interested in men, or boys to men. Other 90s boy bands are available. Anyway, up to this point, the world has been a bit creepy, but otherwise rather generous. But here we see that the world has been grooming this child somewhat, ready for this moment, where the world pushes manhood to worship seven kings. And they're not the nice kings.
For of one thing, manhood, I warn thee. I am most of bounty. For seven kings suen me, both by day and night. One of them is the king of pride, the king of envy, doughty indeed, the king of wrath that boldly will abide, for mickle is his might. The king of covetise is the fourth. The fifth king, he hight sloth. The king of gluttony hath no jollity. There poverty is pight. Lechery is the seventh king. All men in him have great delighting. Therefore worship him above all thing. Manhood. With all thy might.
Yea, Sir King, without leasing, it shall be wrought.
So the world is served by the seven deadly sins and encourages the young man to serve them. It's a question here as to the scale of the play and the choppy verse. Is this a mini version of a larger scale play? Are the seven kings supposed to be present in a larger version? Are they supposed to be physically on stage? And would you add them into a production? In this text, manhood was obviously distracted by a squirrel at this point, as he has to ask the world to repeat who the first king was again.
Had I knowing of the first king, well joyen I mought.
The first king hight Pride.
Ah, Lord, with him fain would I bide.
Yea, but wouldst thou serve him truly in every tide?
Yea, sir, and thereto my troth I plight, that I shall truly pride present. I swear by St. Thomas of Kent, to serve him truly is mine intent with main and all my might.
And having sworn allegiance to all the sins, and remember that the sin you're supposed to follow the most was lechery, along with the whole lust angle earlier, you can see where this text thinks horny boys are drawn, and I'm not wholly sure he's wrong either. Anyway, he swears by St. Thomas of Kent. Why you would swear by Thomas Becket, murdered Archbishop of Canterbury, to follow sin is an interesting issue, but it's probably just a commonplace. Anyway, the world, having heard his child will follow sin, invests him in some new robes and invests him as a knight. So a bit of dubbing business here with a sword. So, prop note, the world has also got a bloody great sword. Not threatening at all.
Now, manhood, I will array thee new. In robes royal of right good hue. And I pray thee principally be true. And here I dub thee a knight. And haunt alway to chivalry. I give thee grace and also beauty. Gold and silver great plenty of the wrong to make the right.
Having given the child manhood, riches and status, and possibly even the sword he knighted him with, a manhood will require a sword from this point onwards, the man goes off, and Mundus prepares to depart.
Gramercy, world and emperor. Gramercy, world and governor. Gramercy, comfort in all colour. And now I take my leave. Farewell.
Farewell, manhood, my gentle knight. Farewell, my son, seemly in sight. I give thee a sword, and also strength and might in battle boldly to bear thee well.
Now I am dubbed a knight, Hend. Wonder wide shall wax my fame. To seek adventures now will I wend, to please the world in glee and game.
Now there's a question. Does manhood leave at this point? He could remain, as Munda speaks to the audience here, but it might be a bit awkward. The world now speaks at length to the audience and makes their farewell change into the next interlocutor. Roughly speaking, he just reheats his opening speech. The world has all the bling, all the power, all the excitement, but the play will next attempt to demonstrate that this is an illusion.
Lo, sirs, I am a prince, perilous approved. Approved full perilous and pithily epight. As a lord in each land, I am beloved. Mine iron do shine as lantern bright. I am a creature comely out of care. Emperors and kings, they kneel to my knee. Every man is afeard when I do on him stare. For all merry Middle-earth maketh mention of me. Yet all is at my handwork, both by down and by dale, both the sea and the land and the fowls that fly, and I were once moved. I tell you in tale, there durst no star stir that standeth in the sky, for I am lord and leader, so that in land all boweth to my bidding bonnily about. Who that stirreth with any strife, or waiteth me with wrong, I shall mightily make him to stammer and stoop. For I am richest in mine array. I have knights and towers. I have brightest ladies in bowers. Now will I fare on these flowers. Lording. Have good day.
Exit Mundus. And thus ends the first movement of the play. It's a short play, but we're going to pick it apart a fair amount. So we will return next time with the second movement, lines 337 to 490-ish, when we meet Conscience. If you have any thoughts about my brief breakdown of the text, or if you have any disagreements with my thoughts, or if I am in plain error, do let me know. I might re-edit based on your thoughts. Or not. And that's it from this spoiler episode. There's an exploring session on the podcast and links to YouTube material for the play as well. But till then, I've been your host, Robert Crichton, and I leave you with a plain text edit of the first movement of The World and the Child. With myself, Robert Crichton, as the child, who grows up fast, and Sarah Golding as the world. Enjoy.
Sirs, cease of your sores what so befall, and look ye bow bonnily to my bidding. For I am ruler of realms, I warn you all, and over all foods I am king. For I am king, and well known in these realms round. I have also palaces, epite. I have steeds in stable stalwart and strong. Also streets and strands full strongly edite. For all the world wide, I wot well is my name. All riches readily it runneth in me, all pleasure worldly, both mirth and game. Myself seemly in sail, I send with you to be, for I am the world. I warn you all, prince of power and of plenty, he that cometh not when I do him call, I shall him smite with poverty. For poverty I part in many a place to them that will not obedient be. I am a king in every case. Methinketh I am a god of grace. The flower of virtue followeth me. Lo, here I sit, seemly in sea. I command you all, obedient be, and with free will ye follow me.
Christ our King, grant you clearly to know the case, to meave of this matter that is in my mind, and clearly declare it. Christ, grant me grace. Now, seemly sirs, behold on me how mankind doth begin. I am a child, as you may see, gotten in game and in great sin. 40 weeks my mother me found, flesh and blood my food was though. When I was ripe from her to sound, in peril of death we stood both two. Now to seek death I must begin, for to pass that strait passage, for body and soul that shall then twin, and make a parting of that marriage. 40 weeks I was freely fed within my mother's possession. Full oft of death she was adread, when that I should part her from. Now into the world she hath me sent, poor and naked as ye may see. I am not worthily wrapped nor went, but poorly pricked in poverty. Now into the world will I wend, some comfort of him for to crave. All hail, comely crowned king, God that all made you, see and save.
Welcome, fair child. What is thy name?
I wot not, sir, withouten blame. But oft time my mother in her game called me Dalliance.
Dalliance, my sweet child. It is a name that is right wild, for when thou waxest old, it is a name of no substance. But, my fair child, what wouldst thou have?
Sir, of some comfort are you crave? Meat and clothes my life to save, and I your true servant shall be.
Now, fair child, I grant thee thine asking. I will thee find while thou art young, so thou wilt be obedient to my bidding. These garments gay I give to thee, and also I give to thee a name, and clep thee wanton in every game, till 14 year be come and gone, and then come again to me.
Gramercy, world, for mine array, for now I purpose me to play.
Farewell, fair child, and have good day. All recklessness is kind for thee.
Wanton is my name. I can many a quaint game. Lo,
my top I drive in same. See how it turneth round. I can with my scourge stick my fellow upon the head hit, and lightly from him make a skip, and blear on him my tongue. If brother or sister do me chide, I will scratch and also bite. I can cry and also kick and mock them all beroo. If father or mother will me smite, I will ring with my lip. And lightly from him make a skip and call my dame shrew. A new game have I found. See, this gin, it renneth round. And here another have I found, and yet mo can I find. I can mow on a man, and make a leasing well I can, and maintain it right well then. This cunning came me of kind. Yea, sirs, I can well geld a snail, and catch a cow by the tail. This is a fair cunning. I can dance and also skip. I can play at the cherry pit. And I can whistle you a fit. Sires in a willow rhine. Yea, sirs, and every day, when I to school shall take the way, some good man's garden I will essay, pears and plums to pluck. I can spy a sparrow's nest. I will not go to school, but when me least, for there beginneth a sorry feast, when the master should lift my dock. Oh! But, sirs, when I was 7 year of age, I was sent to the world to take wage, and this 7 year I have been his page and kept his commandment. Now will I wend to the world, the worthy emperor. Hail, Lord of great honour! This 7 year I have served you in hall and in bower with all my true intent.
Now welcome, wanton, my darling dear. A new name I shall give thee here. Love, lust, liking, in fear. These thy names they shall be. All game and glee and gladness, all love longing in lewdness. This 7 year forsake all sadness, and then come again to me.
Now lust and liking is my name. I am as fresh as flowers in May. I am seemly shapen in same, and proudly apparelled in garments gay. My looks been full lovely to a lady's eye, and in love longing my heart is sore set. Might I find a food that were fair and free to lie in hell till doomsday, for love I would not let. My love for to win all game and glee, all mirth and melody, all revel and riot, and of boast will I never blin. But, sirs, now I am 19 winter old. Iwis I wax wonder bold. Now I will go to the world a higher science to essay. For the world will keep me avance. I will keep his governance. His pleasing will I pray, for he is a king in all substance.
All hail, master full of might! I have you served both day and night.
Now I comen as you behight. 21 winter is comen and gone.
Now welcome love, lust, and liking, for thou hast been obedient to my bidding. I increase thee in all thing, and mightily I make thee a man. Manhood mighty shall be thy name. Bear thee pressed in every game, and wait well that thou suffer no shame, neither for land nor for rent. If any man would weight thee with blame, withstand him with thy whole intent. Full sharply thou beat him to shame with doughtiness of deed. For of one thing, manhood, I warn thee. I am most of bounty. For 7 kings suen me, both by day and night. One of them is the king of pride, the king of envy, doughty indeed, the king of wrath that boldly will abide, for mickle is his might. The king of covetise is the fourth. The 5th king, he hight Sloth. The king of gluttony hath no jollity. There poverty is pite. Lechery is the 7th king. All men in him have great delighting. Therefore, worship him above all thing, manhood, with all thy might.
Yea, Sir King, without leasing it shall be wrought. Had I knowing of the 1st king, well joyen I mought.
The 1st king hight Pride.
Ah, Lord, with him fain would I bide.
Yea. Wouldst thou serve him truly in every tide?
Yea, sir, and thereto my troth I plight, that I shall truly pride present. I swear by St. Thomas of Kent, to serve him truly is mine intent with main and all my might.
Now, manhood, I will array thee new, in robes royal of right good hue. And I pray thee principally be true. And here I dub thee a knight, and haunt alway to chivalry. I give thee grace, and also beauty, gold and silver, great plenty of the wrong to make the right.
Gramercy, world and emperor. Gramercy, world and governor, gramercy, comfort in all colour. And now I take my leave. Farewell.
Farewell, manhood, my gentle knight. Farewell, my son, seemly in sight. I give thee a sword, and also strength and might in battle boldly to bear thee well.
Now I am dubbed a knight-hend. Wander wide shall wax my fame. To seek adventures now will I wend, to please the world in glee and game.
Lo, sirs, I am a prince, perilous approved. Approved full perilous and pithily epite. As a lord in each land, I am beloved. Mine iron do shine as lantern bright. I am a creature comely out of care. Emperors and kings, they kneel to my knee. Every man is afeard when I do on him stare. for all merry Middle-earth maketh mention of me. Yet all is at my handwork, both by down and by dale, both the sea and the land and the fowls that fly, and I were once moved, I tell you in tale. There durst no star stir that standeth in the sky, for I am lord and leader, so that in land all boweth to my bidding bonnily about. Who that stirreth with any strife or waiteth me with wrong, I shall mightily make him to stammer and stoop, for I am richest in mine array. I have knights and towers, I have brightest ladies in bowers. Now will I fare on these flowers. Lordings, have good day.
In our plain text of The World and the Child by the Unknown, Robert Crichton, myself, was the child who grows up fast, and Sarah Golding was the world. This episode was hosted and produced by myself, Robert Crichton, for the Beyond podcast. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Beyond Shakes. Visit our website at beyondshakespeare.org, or support our work by becoming a patron regularly at patreon.com/beyondshakespeare, or a one-off donation at ko-fi.com/beyondshakespeare. All of that helps pay for all of this. So do support us if you can. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.